thing again, and you're none the wiser until someone says this. You go, let me just get the instructions. No, no, no. Why don't we play the game and it'll make sense as we play it? And as you play the first round of the game, you're kind of catching on. By the second round of the game, you're rolling sixes, you're rolling threes, you've bought the wheat, you've got the merchants free from the prison, you've made sure that no one else has played their joker, you played your joker, you're the winner. And if you want to play that game, you can't, I've just made it up. So I don't even know how it works. But you know what I mean? Where you're like, actually, when you actually see it in action, that's when it makes sense. Like, someone can explain it to you and you go, yeah, I sort of get bits of it. But when you actually see it, it's like, ah, I get it. It's like the penny drops. It's like the scales fall from the eyes. And this morning, as we talk about these ideas of the resurrection of Jesus, of new life, of being born into new life, we're going to see it in action. So even if what I say makes some level of sense, I'm trusting, actually, when we see it, as we open up this baptistry pool, as we hear the testimonies about new life, as we see people going down and dying to an old way of life, of coming up through the waters of baptism, of being resurrected, as just as Jesus was resurrected into a new way of life, I'm trusting in that moment, it's going to be this revelation moment for many of us where we go, oh, I get it. I get why those aren't just words in scripture. It's not just a theory or a theology, but it just goes, ah, light bulb moment. So let's get our Bibles open. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. We're going to do the theory behind it before we move into the practical reality of it. So Romans chapter 6, we're just going to read a few verses that talk about these big themes of resurrection and of baptism. If you've got a Bible, then get it open to Romans 6. If you need a Bible, there's some on the windowsills. If you've got it out of the app on your phone, go to the Bible app. Turn off your other notifications. Don't get distracted. Turn them off. Go to the Bible app. Scroll down to Romans chapter 6. If you haven't got any of those things, that's fine as well. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Just before we jump into it, though, you have to imagine that Romans chapter 6 is the middle of a high-speed train of thought, which is Paul's kind of dialogue, which he's speaking to the church in Rome. And particularly between chapters 5 and 8, he's zooming along at speed, kind of chucking out all these big ideas. So you need to channel your inner James Bond, your inner Katniss Everdeen, jump on the speeding train of thought. We're going to be right in the middle of it as we read Romans chapter 6. We're going to read from verses 3 to 11. So hopefully that gave you enough time to find it with that preamble. Let's read together Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 to 11. It says this, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's not just history, but it's power and it's truth for us today. And Lord, we want to pray, Jesus, that we would hear what your word has to say to us, that we would have that greater depth of understanding, that your spirit would be at work in us as we read and reread these words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul talks about this idea of new life. He says in verse 4, he says that we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Paul is talking about the invitation into a new life. Now, when you were younger, you may have used this phrase if you are feeling particularly salty at someone, if you're kind of feeling particularly angry at someone, and you were younger and you didn't know any worse words, you might say to someone, why don't you get a life? Why don't you get a life? And if you were particularly cool, you might reply, I've already got a life, thank you. Why didn't you get a life? And that's not what Paul is saying here. He's not kind of saying, go get a life, you bunch of losers. That's not what he's saying. He's inviting us into real life. He's not saying, you're a bunch of losers, get a life, in that like aggro type way. He's saying, no, there is an invitation here to real life, to new life, to life in Jesus Christ, to life to the max, to life in all its fullness. There is an invitation to those who will take it, to those who will step into it. There is an invitation to a new life. What does that life look like? And I just want to pick out three things that that life looks like from this passage. But as I was praying about it, as I was kind of seeking God, okay, how am I going to kind of describe this new life? Because there's so many things that we could talk about the new life in Christ, what it means, what it looks like. As I was praying about this, for some reason, the French national motto came into my head. Does anyone know what the national motto of France is? Liberté, égalité, fraternité. Okay, let's have it up on the screen, please, Peter. Liberté, égalité, fraternité. Okay, I'm doing my best French here. Okay. And what basically that means is freedom, liberty, freedom, égalité, equality, or fraternité, that sense of brotherhood, that sense of, if you want to kind of extend it further, that's idea of family, of brotherhood of family. Liberté, égalité, fraternité. And then at the bottom it says, ou mort, which means, or death. Okay, classic French, kind of like, it's that or nothing. This is written during the French Revolution. This was graffitied all over the place, all over Paris in particular, this idea of, we're going for liberty, equality, and brotherhood, this idea of fraternity. It's either that or it's death. That's what we're going for. And I just kind of felt there was something in this idea of what it means to live the new life in Christ, which was around liberty, freedom, equality, the everyone's invited, and that sense of fraternity, of brotherhood, of family that I want to just speak into, and we can pick it out from the passage here as well. So first of all, the idea of liberty. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is for freedom. You might walk and live in freedom. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. That's why he was raised to new life again, that you might live and walk in freedom. Now, many of us, or all of us, I'd actually say, know what it is to be under someone else's authority. You know that at some stage or another in life, all of us have been under someone else's authority. Maybe it's a boss. All of us at some stage, I'm sure, it's a parent. And parents are really annoying, aren't they? Because they kind of say things like this. You need to do this. And then sometimes you feel bold enough to say, why? And they say, because I'm your parent and I say so. That's not an answer. That's just like an annoying thing. Parents say, because I'm your parent and I say, that's why you've got to do it. Well, actually, then you kind of push back and say, why do I have to do it? And they say, because I say so. I'm your parent. I created you. Shall the pot say to the potter, why did you make me like this? No, I made you. You're going to do as I say. So we kind of live, all of us, whether it's parental authority or a boss or a teacher or whoever it is, we all live under authority. But the idea is that we are set free. That doesn't mean set free from our boss or set free from our parents or set free from our teachers, but set free. What are we set free from? Well, let's have a look in verses 6 and 7. It says this, for we know that the old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves. Instead, freedom, liberté, freedom. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from not being good enough. Have you ever felt that, actually, that you've not been good enough? That you've not actually hit the mark, that you haven't actually made it. Maybe you've had kind of a boss or a teacher or maybe a coach or a parent who has always told you, you're not actually good enough. You never quite made it. You kind of get 98% in your maths test, and you say, hey, I got 98% in my maths test, but it's like, well, come on, let's explore that 2%. Let's have a look. What went wrong there? Were you not thinking? Did you not reread the question? Did you make a silly mistake? Were you rushing? Come on, what's happened there? What's gone on with this 2%? Or maybe you're kind of playing a piece on the piano, and you play it near on perfect. It's beautiful piece, it's an incredibly difficult piece, and you play it, and then they kind of say, well, do you know what, in the 16th bar, you were a crotchet out. I don't even know what a crotchet is, but apparently, there is a thing called a crotchet in music. You were one crotchet out in the 16th. Does that make sense as a phrase? Yeah. Yes, great, it worked, good. I don't know anything about music, but you were out there. Then they kind of they pick up on the minutiae thing, the small little thing. You were out. You were wrong. You didn't quite live up. You didn't quite meet the mark. I think sometimes we can go through life constantly wanting to get that affirmation of, am I good enough? Am I loved? Am I valued? Have I done enough? And it can be not walking in freedom, but actually walking trapped. We walk trapped by thinking, am I loved? Am I accepted? Have I done enough? Have I been good enough? And we constantly are seeking it from others in relationships, on social media. Will you like me? Will you accept me? Will you follow me? Have I done enough? And we constantly have that need within us. But the freedom, the liberté, the cross and the resurrection that God promises is that he loves us. He loves us full stop. He doesn't love us if we get 100% and only then. He doesn't love us only if we make no mistakes in the piece. He doesn't love us only if ... He loves us, full stop. And so we're not constantly striving, I've got to do more, because that's being trapped. Rather, we walk in liberty and freedom, knowing that I am loved by God, I'm valued by God, I'm accepted by God for who I am because he's made me. And if I ever doubt that, I need to look to the cross and go, well, his arms are so open wide, full of love. He died in my place. He died for me upon the cross. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He took upon himself all of my mistakes, whether I got 98% and made 2% mistake, or whether I've done much bigger things wrong. The thoughts I've had, the things I've done, the things I've said, the things I've taken from others, the way I've treated people. I can say, God, I'm sorry. And God says, yes, there is freedom. There is forgiveness, liberté. Okay, so that's liberté. How's my French going? Not too bad. Égalité. Equality. So who is this message for? Is this message simply for those who are the elite? Those who are rich, who are wealthy, who are intelligent, who are good-looking, who drive the right car, who pass the test, who make the team, who have the right haircut, who wear the right clothes, who marry up, who mow their lawns, who wash their cars, whose driveway is the envy of the rest of the street. Is that who the message of liberty and freedom and forgiveness is for? Is that who it's for? No. It's a message of equality, of actually equality for all who would come. And how do I know that? Well, because this message is written, it says in verse 3, or don't you know that all of us, and don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? It's a message for all. Well, who's Paul writing to? Well, he's writing to the church in Rome. Well, is he just writing to the Romans, to the Roman elite? And actually, the whole of the idea of the Roman society was built on this idea of social strata, that you would gain through battle and through war, you would gain kind of promotion and promotion and promotion, and it was all about this meritocracy. The more I do, the higher up I rise. So is that who Paul is writing to? People who have risen to the top? No, he's not. He writes to all sorts of people. He writes to Jews and to Greeks and to Romans and to Asians and to men and to women and to slaves and to those who are free. He writes to the rich and he writes to the poor. He writes to ex-convicts, people who have been in and out of jail, and he writes to the social elite. How do we know that? Because if you read Romans chapter 16, all of those different people are listed All of those different people are listed in Romans chapter 16. He says, oh, and say hello to this person. Say hello to this Jewish person. Or say hello to this person from Asia. Say hello to this person who is in prison. Say hello to this person who's really rich and has opened up their house. Say hello to this person who's a woman. Say hello to this person who's a man. Say hello to this person who's a slave. Say hello to this person. Oh, and thank this person. And he just lists people from every strata of society. Because the message of the invitation into the Christian faith is one of egalité, of equality. Of it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, the invitation is for you. It's egalité. And then finally, fraternité. I'm enjoying myself a little bit too much here. Family. This idea of family, of brotherhood, of sisterhood. Of being into a family. And actually, as we look at baptism, the idea of baptism is of one of rebirth. As you burst through the waters again. Just as you were physically born, the waters broke and you came out. It's that simple, I hear. You're born into a family. And in the same way, as you burst through the waters of baptism, as you come up through the waters of baptism, you also are welcomed into a family. Into the family of believers here at Jubilee. That's why, actually, we don't do kind of baptisms on a Sunday afternoon when the rest of everyone's gone home and, okay, we'll do a quick baptism. No, we do it here publicly with the family here present because you're baptized into a family. One of the things I love about different families and being invited to different families' houses and getting to know different families in a church is that you get to find out what different people have as their family meal. So whether it's a jollof rice, which our Ghanaian friends and our Nigerian friends can argue about who does the best jollof rice, or maybe it's a kind of somale on a Sunday, Catalin. Or maybe it's feijoada on a Friday for our Brazilian friends. Or I don't know what it is. Maybe it's fish and chip Friday roast dinner. I don't know what you have, what your family meal is. But there is a family meal that isn't subject to one culture within the Christian faith. It's not, okay, we're going to join in the Nigerian meal or the pad thai that Apple makes or the curry that Esther makes or whatever it is. Do you know there's a family meal that unites us? Doesn't divide us along cultural lines. It's a family meal of bread and of wine. And the bread is this body of Christ that was broken. It points to his death. This body was broken, and Jesus' body was broken on the cross. The nails went through his hands and his feet. The spear went into his side. The crown of thorns around his head dug into his flesh. His body was broken, and blood came out of his hands and his feet and his side and from his head. And Jesus takes the cup and he says, this cup of wine, this cup of my blood in the New Testament is a new covenant of blood. And it is given for the forgiveness of sins. This is the family meal that we celebrate as believers in Christ. This is the family meal that we are invited into. And could I just have that picture up again, Peter, of the French motto? It says this, liberté, égalité, fraternité, ou mort. And I rang up Amélie Bello this week. She's in Romania, visiting Paul and Magda Serban. And I said, Amélie, you're half French. You speak French. You did French A-level. I said, I think the French have got this slightly wrong. I don't think it's ou mort. I said, I think it's something else. Can you help me to figure out how do I say this? And she said, Ben, she said, Benjamin. She said, non, au mot, par la mort, through the death. It's not liberty, égalité, fraternité, or death. Rather, I think, when we come to understand what the Bible has to say, it's par la mort, through the death of Jesus. That's how we get freedom. That's how we are all invited in. That's how we get invited into this family. It's through the death of Jesus Christ. But there's also a second death as well. Because Paul says again and again through here that we, verse 4, we were therefore buried with him. Because actually, we also need to die. We also need to die. We need to die to an old way of life. We need to die to our sinfulness. We need to die to our selfishness. We need to recognize that my life isn't about me. Actually, it's about something and someone greater. I need to die myself. And that's what this baptistry pool is, again, a symbol of, is of dying. It's shaped like a grave. We die to an old way of life and we come up to a new way of life. The freedom in Jesus Christ, the equality, the brotherhood, the family nature of it is through death. Yes, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also through our own death. And when we say, I'm going to leave behind an old way of life, and I'm going to choose to follow God. I'm going to choose to leave my old ways behind. I'm going to choose to be born again. I'm going to choose to live a new life and be born into a new life. And just as we finish, we're going to have the band come up again and lead us in a song in just a moment or two. But I want to just lead us in a bit of a response. I think the first response is this. For those of us who would say, actually, I don't know that I'm a believer. But Ben, I do want to know what it is to walk in the freedom that you've spoken about. I do want to know what it is to walk in the freedom from sin, the freedom from needing constantly people to tell me I'm good enough, but never feeling good enough, never feeling like I've hit the mark or made it. But I want to walk in that freedom. I want to walk in the freedom of knowing I'm fully loved and fully accepted. And if that's you this morning, you want to accept the freedom that Christ offers. You want to say, I want to leave an old life behind, not escapism. We have golf courses and spa days and Netflix for that. This isn't escapism. This is saying, I'm going to die completely to an old way of life. I'm going to live a new life. If that's you this morning, I want to say a prayer. And you can say this prayer after me in response. To say, I want to know what it is to walk in that freedom. It's a prayer that goes simply like this. Jesus, thank you that you're alive. Thank you that you love me. Jesus, I choose to believe in you. I want to say sorry for the things I've done wrong. Lord, I want to die to my old way of life. I want to choose to follow you. I give my life to you today. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to chat with you afterwards or whoever you've come with to grab them and tell them, hey, this is a prayer I prayed. Can I just ask someone to go out and let the children's groups know we're going to be about three or four minutes? That'd be great. Thanks, Mark. But the second response, for those of us who actually, you know you're a believer, you know you're a Christian this morning. Maybe you've been baptized, you've definitely said that prayer or something similar to it in the past, but you still feel like, actually, I don't feel like I'm walking in the freedom that you've talked about, Ben. Or maybe it's this, maybe you know there's some things you still need to die again to and say, I want to say, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to ask, as we sing this song of response, it's actually a song of surrender. I said, actually, I want to live for you, God. I want to live everything for you. Ask God's Holy Spirit, as you're singing the songs, to make that a prayer of both confession and a prayer of response to God, saying, I want to live for you today. Let's sing.